This is White Mountain Rescue Without a Trace, Part 3. We're gonna kick off first by just doing a bit of a setup because also Wes is with us this time, so we got to get Wes up to speed with what's going on. So previously, the first responders had rescued Paul Foster, who was indeed alive, from the surrounding woods near the creek, and Mike continued to have a very, very, very bad time with the stairs. But y'all managed to successfully rescue Paul Foster. During the rationalization move, I believe the determined explanation for the entire thing was drugs, hallucinogens, like that there was just like you had breathed in some stuff, like and it was just a bad time for everyone. However, Mike Hester's, due to the rationalization role itself, is permanently haunted by the stairs. So for the rest of the campaign, Mike and Mike alone will continue to experience the stairs, which is so fun for me. We are currently in the out of the woods phase, which means we're going to get to explore the first responders' lives outside of the actual rescue. This is where you can actually do vulnerable moves with one another as you see fit. And we're also exploring the unsolved unseens. Last week, I assigned some prompts, which that is currently, you can look at that on the tab now. As a reminder, we are exploring the dog walker, which I'll introduce here shortly. The prompt order for that is Daniel, Chaotic, Wes, and then B. So go ahead and give that a little looky-loo. We have some conditions. Roderick has the buzzing still. Mike has it's bad and sprained ankle. Hank has got too old for this, and Dallas is fine. Dallas has nothing. Nothing is wrong with Dallas. Everything is hunky dory. So as a reminder, with the this is our first time doing the out of the woods phase. This is my first time running out of the woods phase with the inclusion of the unsolved unseens, because previously they were just very open-ended of just like playing them out, and then you moved in, and now we have this actual structured unseen mechanic to kind of like put a timer on it. So I'll read this bit again. Between each completed rescue, there is an out of the woods phase where we see the team outside of the search and rescue. In this phase, players are able to access both vulnerable and rationalization moves. We already did the rationalization move, the unsolved unseen, as well as describing what their characters are up to in their personal and professional lives. You may have a few scenes each during the out of the woods phase where the team members can focus on their personal lives and interactions without being immediately in danger. I have some prompts for players based on the first responders' plans for the phase. Alternating between these scenes, we will do the unsolved unseen of past unsolved missing person cases tied to the White Mountain National Forest. So some potential choices for scene, just because there are lists of options here. You can spend time at headquarters doing work and stuff. You could be preparing and maintaining your gear in the shed. Which there are mechanics for that as well. I'll talk about them depending on who does what. You could be doing in the field training. You could just be running errands around town, spending time at home, getting a bite or a drink at O'Sullivan's Bar and Grill. And Dallas has access to an exclusive one for them, which is the Wilderness Nonprofit Foundation. Or you could just be doing some other personal time, in which case, well, there's a little bit more free form. So yeah, I'm gonna kind of like go in character keeper order here just to get the vibe of what y'all are thinking about doing. After everyone's spoken, we can do a round of revisions if anyone wants to add like change up what they want to do. So B, what is Roderick looking to do? What are we gonna focus on with Roderick's out of the woods time?
I imagine we're going to do something very in character because Roderick's a workaholic and a permanent collector of certifications. So I don't imagine he has much of a personal life. So we're going to be doing work
Love
stuff.
that. Spending time back at headquarters.
Yeah.
Very good. Love that. Cool. What about Mike?
Like, personally, I think like I all that like instantly entered my head was Mike buying groceries.
Good. Good. So there's what.
But I do want what's the move called? I don't know what it's called in this system.
Which version? The vulnerable move?
Yeah, the
Yeah,
vulnerable
it's just the
move.
vulnerable move.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good, like duly noted. What about Sergeant Hank McBride?
Yeah, I wanted to do a vulnerable move with Mike, probably at that O'Sullivan's bar.
Love that.
And if I could get a chance, I think I'd like to check out the shed and do some work there in the shed because that net took a beating.
Very good, very good. So actually, Daniel, I'll ask you this as the creator of the game, how do you see pacing wise this shaking out with the unseen prompts of doing multiple different things of are we gonna like is it gonna be O'Sullivan's will be Mike's thing between you two, and then your thing will be like we'll cut to the shed thing, or how would you imagine pacing that out as the creator of this game?
I just did it last night, and we only got halfway through. And everybody wanted to go to O'Sullivan's except for the rookie. So we started off one chunk with folks at O'Sullivan's, and then the rookie, and then we did an unseen, and then the rookie showed up at the at O'Sullivan's, and we had a scene. And then when we come back next time, I think they're going home, and so
Okay.
it'll just kind of follow them.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
And just going
Okay.
back and forth with the unseen.
Okay, I like that. I'll keep that in mind. And Dallas, what are you gonna do?
Dallas is going to spend out of the woods phase with Dallas's best friends, Dallas's employees at the Wilderness Nonprofit Foundation. A lot of people believe that you shouldn't, for work, you shouldn't have like more than just an employee-employer relationship. But here at the Bart Moss Data Solutions, we believe that we're more than just coworkers. We're family.
Fun, and you're not going home until I'm going home. That seems to be the vibe. Oh, I hate
I
him
sleep
like.
here sometimes. I keep a cot in my office.
And by a cot, it's like an actual, like full separate bedroom, like that he has.
Absolutely, with a
That we have.
bathroom and
Yeah.
everything like that. Yeah,
Wow, he sucks
absolutely.
so much. I mean, I don't know why I'm imagining like just brutalist architecture for something. But anyway, amazing, very good. All right. Any revisions to their desired activities? No.
No, just a comment of, oh my God, Dallas.
I love the outdoors.
That's why I keep buying up land.
Over the place and giving it to you, but I still own it, but you have use of it. The Wilderness
Incredible.
Wildlife Foundation.
Let's. Before we explore these scenes, we are going to introduce our unsolved unseen, the dog walker. Karen Masterson always took her golden retriever, Max, out for a weekend walk on the Stony Brook Trail just down from the Androscoggin Ranger Station. The last such walk was on a brisk April morning in 1994. Multiple hikers saw her enter and while she was on the trail, but her and Max never returned to her parked Ford Explorer. Daniel, you have the first prompt, if you'd be so kind.
Aaron was safety conscious, and even though it was not close to hunting season, described the blaze orange vest she had for her and Max. So hers goes over her. What time of the year is this? It's brisk. Okay, so hers
Yeah,
goes
April.
on. Her goes on. She's wearing like a fleece, and maybe it's like a green or black kind of muted fleece. But her blaze orange vest is the netted kind that goes over it, and it has like yellow bands with like the reflective tape on it. So hers is pretty lightweight, but it's going over her vest. Max's is not really, it's not even a vest. It's an orange, blaze orange like handkerchief that's been folded into a triangle and then tied around his neck by his collar. And with a black Sharpie, she wrote, Max in all capital letters on the front of it.
Very nice. Let's cut over to Roderick Lopps. Back at headquarters. Let's see. I have a paint the scene question
Let's
here.
do.
Let's see. Yeah, I'll go with this one. There is a stack of paperwork in your inbox. What is due now that you have to complete? And this, everyone can contribute to their own various characters. But yeah, we're focusing on Roderick.
I think it's from Mr. Embargo. And I think it is some very technical government paperwork about that, like various permissions and certifications that's due. There's some that have to do with handling wildlife, being around it. And it's just, you know, it needs to be done. We've all been slacking because we've been out in the field. So I feel it's, and also there's probably some petty stuff. I do need to fill out my mileage things. I have definitely been not doing that at all. Yeah, I feel there's a lot of that.
I feel that this is some overdue paperwork that keeps on getting passed to everyone's mailboxes. Like, it ends up on one person's desk, and then that person, like, delivers it to the next desk. But it's currently in Mike's inbox because, like, I think he's just the final person in the line, and you'll eventually do it. But it's just various complaints about, like, the local campers about, like, oh no, that there's, like, shit in the woods from animals and whatnot, and it's, like, dumb stuff like that.
I think we all have reminders that we're running out of time. No, we already missed the timeline, and now they've given us an extension to complete our HR training on safety in the workplace, and it's, like, you have to watch a video about how you're supposed to sit in the chair. And you have to have your wrist in a certain way, and you can't leave things plugged in like a heater, space heater. And but we just did that, seems like. And so we're all been just ignoring it.
A lot of it is just Mix Bart Moss. We're trying to get in contact with you. You see, there's been a number of issues that have occurred due to faulty equipment at our Portland office, as well as our Denver office. We need you to be able to sign off on these certain things. And just auto-replying is the out-of-office reply, which is just a photo of Dallas in some, like, mountain range or something like that. And it just has a quote under him that it's very clearly been lifted and had some words switched out from other inspirational quotes, that just says that, like, strife is the ingredients of which we bake a brilliant cake called life and things like that. Dallas Bart Moss.
All right, Roderick. So what are you? We set the scene with you at headquarters. That threw me for a loop.
I know, right?
describe what Roderick's doing right now.
So I feel like Roderick needs, like, when he's not out doing the actual job, he needs to keep himself busy. He is perpetually, like, needs his hands to be doing something, needs the little rat in his brain to be gnawing on something. And so, but he hates paperwork so much. He hates it so much. So all this paperwork that is in his inbox, he looks at it and goes, later. And, like, files it away. And he's like, no, this is not my problem. And is actually working on a different certification. I imagine he's working on some more actual wilderness stuff because this last rescue kind of made him realize that he's not as good out in the woods as he'd really like to be. So he's working on, I should have made a list of actual certifications that you can get. Because I didn't.
I like that, though.
But, yeah.
Let's cut over to O'Sullivan's Bar and Grill. This is an out-of-the-way bar that is north of HQ and the town of Campton, where the team often unwinds. No tourists find their way to this pub, and since it is frequented by law enforcement, there are not that many locals either. We'll begin... I think Mike is here currently, and Hank will join shortly. But let's paint the scene about O'Sullivan's. What sorts of decorations are up on the walls in O'Sullivan's that let you know National Forest Service folks are welcomed here?
There is a wall of photos of, like, each year, the Forest Service's office, essentially. It's like a, it seems to be like an annual, like an annual crab night or something like that. Like a, like it's just some kind of annual competition that happens, and you can just see each year's. Decidedly, there's one missing for this year, but maybe soon.
I think because I imagine like us as rangers and just that that's our thing, that we've thoroughly marked this as like sort of our spot. Like I think if you look under some of the tables, you can like just see like some names carved into like the wood and whatnot. Definitely like we have like we haven't gotten into trouble for doing stuff like that, so yeah, it's just very homey here, effectively. Like, it feels less of a bar, more or less of, like, just a general hangout spot.
I think over the bar, instead of, like, a mirror or something like that, it's a big, like, framed map of the White Mountain National Forest. Like, but it's, like, from the 1970s, and it's yellowed, but it's an actual Forest Service map.
I think that there is like a I think that there's a drink named after the White Mountain Forest, and I think that maybe there is one really old like name drink that like is a purse that was a forest ranger from way back in the day that got a drink named after them, and we all kind of think Hank maybe should get one. But we don't really know how to, we can't like really make that happen. Yeah, it's for Carl.
I'm going to say right now that the drink, I'm going to take the reins on the drink that was named after a person is named after the newly written Vanished playbook that Daniel made, is which I think that that is the idea of having a person who went missing and memorialized with the drink is very fun. We don't know. So if that playbook ever comes into this game, that's fun to know that there's a drink named after them. I'm just thinking back to when we did the playtest of this with Daniel running, and I named an item on the food menu a salad called Leave It Like You Found It. One of my favorite contributions. Anywho, where's Mike? What's Mike doing?
I think Mike is just outside like the bar and like is trying to like amp himself to go in because like he really kind of fucked up on this last sort of like rescue. He injured himself, he got lost in the woods effectively. He wasn't even actually responsible for finding the guy. Like everything went wrong, and he doesn't want to see Hank all that much because like he thinks he disappointed him. So like I think like after a few more moments, like I think just the sort of like I think we do see him go inside eventually, and as sort of the door opens, we see Mike's shadow, and it doesn't quite look like Mike, and then the door closes behind him.
Hank, what do you drive?
It's probably a Jeep Golden Eagle, Jeep Cherokee Golden Eagle edition, and it's got rusted out back, like the back fenders rusted out around the tire, and it's probably from like I don't know when they stopped making them, but like 1980.
Yeah, that comes kicking up gravel into the parking lot, I imagine, pulling in. What's the vibe in Hank's car as he is parking up at O'Sullivan and kind of narrate his entrance?
There's a lot of like coffee cups in the floorboard, and he's clearly been in this vehicle alone. But you can see over in the or whoever's been riding shotgun has been like stepping on the coffee cups. They're all like mashed down on that side. And there's a lot of work stuff in here, like maps and things like that. And the back of the truck has like these iron tubes, these metal tubes where they're like shovels can be put in there, axes and stuff when they go out. And so it's like a utility truck for sure.
Very nice. And you will make your way to the building. Dallas Bartmoss at the Wilderness Nonprofit Foundation. This is the HQ of a fully funded nonprofit that focuses on funneling resources into a variety of wilderness and recreational organizations. It has an endowment of millions and is constantly awarded new federal grants for additional funding. Let's paint the scene collectively, then I'll have a separate question for Dallas as well. The architectural style of the building is not rustic or what you would expect from a wilderness-focused agency. What does it look like instead?
I think just to give a general outline, people, the rest of you can kind of fill in the details. But this building has, much like you said, the offices were a brutalist design. In the distinct surrounded by like just like distinct forested areas surrounded by trees and sunshine and birds and everything, there's just this concrete monolith that stands like on the edge of a cliff overlooking much of the valley, held it up by like steel support beams. Just concrete, just like it looks like oblongs, polygons, just different, just mounted on top of each other.
I'm gonna say all the windows are blackened, so we can't see on the outside. We can't see in. They're all just like black sheets of glass or metal. We can't really tell from the outside.
I think that there is a Bartmoss Solutions, Bartmoss Data Solutions sign that is like nearby, and it is slick and really like brutalist, like it matches the thing, and it is like it sticks out so bad. It's like where like when you're leading up to it, it's not even by the building, and so it's just another sort of marring bit of the landscape.
I think just in order to try to make this feel like, oh, this is natural, I think like in the sort of like reception area, what have you, that they put in plants and whatnot, but however, they aren't of like any local plants, like they're like more exotic. Like I think like they just straight up have like a little small palm tree.
So kind of you all.
Incredible.
Thank you for visiting.
Dallas, I think we focused the scene on you are holding a press conference in the foyer of the foundation. What is the topic and how are you spinning things for the reporters?
Here, well, this is separate. This is just the Wilderness Nonprofit Foundation, which is supported by Bartmoss Data Solutions. It is a separate, a wholly separate entity from Bartmoss Data Solutions. But what we're really focusing on, especially after everything that happened with the steps and everything, is new trailblazing. Trailblazing of the past using flags or paint is a way of the of it's archaic. What we need to do to make sure that future campers and hikers are safe is having modern trailblazing solutions for modern day trailblazing problems. And with that, we are going to be echoing out the Bartmoss Data Solutions drone trailblazing program. What we are going to be viewing is utilizing drone technology that will maintain and upkeep trails all throughout the White Mountain Valley area, and hopefully the world. Yes, a question from you right there in the middle.
And we will cut back to the unseen.
A couple from Shelburne were walking their border collie and stopped to talk to Karen briefly. Describe the casual conversation and the behavior of the two dogs. I think this is like, I imagine Karen Masterson is sort of a younger woman. She is pretty upbeat. It's a nice April day, a little chilly, but it's not that bad. Various flowers are in bloom. The trees are starting to like turn a little bit on the green as their leaves unfurl. And I imagine like this older couple like are just like having a like a talk about like sort of the local wildlife, about the birds in the areas. And I think like the dogs are fairly trying to play together. The dog is one of the dogs is a little bit older and can't like roughhouse as much as the other one. I think like the older dog doesn't really have any like besides like his collar, there isn't like any official markings like to like let know for hunters and whatnot. I think her remarks upon that about keeping a little bit of a better look because you don't know about like these woods. It could be a little bit on the dangerous side.
Meanwhile, back at headquarters in the present day, David Umbargo approaches your work, whatever you're currently focusing on with your certification. What time is it? Like, where in, like, because chronology doesn't really matter here. We don't need to like line things up. So, like, yeah, what time do you imagine this it is right now?
I imagine it's probably a little later in the evening than I should be at the office. And I am specifically looking at a Swiftwater rescue certification because of what happened to Mike. And I was like, oh my God, I was not prepared for that. And Hank was, and I should be more like him because he's clear. I mean, he's the most senior officer here, and I should sort of aspire to be like that. And so that's what I'm looking at, which is super not the work I'm actually supposed to be doing.
Yeah, David Umbargo comes walking up with a coffee mug that Daniel, what does the coffee mug say on it?
It's probably like got Smokey the Bear on it.
Yeah, it's got Smokey the Bear on it. It's like a, it and it's like retro, like Smokey the Bear, like from like the 80s, like post one of those posters. Except he never drinks coffee. David Umbargo is strictly a man who drinks like tea, I think. It just he has like yerba mate just constantly in there. And is just like just kind of like takes like a long like slurping sip of it, just goes, "Hey there, Roddy, how's it going?"
doing good, doing good. Just catching up on
Good, good.
some
Glad to
work. How
hear
are you
that.
doing?
Yeah. No, well, I've been better, Roderick. I've been better. Hey, so just a quick word, nothing major, but you've been using a blue pen to sign for several things lately. I've noticed he holds like a couple of like your like medical documentations up and just kind of like your handwriting and just goes, "Now, regulation states where that official forms are supposed to be signed with black pens only." And I just think, hey, maybe we just, we keep it professional, okay?
I think maybe the forms are filled out perfectly fine. I think yeah, I mean like it's all there. It's all there. I think you can read it.
Yeah, it's all there, but it's also, it's a consideration for any potential issues that might come up with blue pen. The regulations were born from well, a litany of justifiable reasons, but one of them being that if any well, there are any colorblind members of staff, which yes, we currently don't have anyone who suffers from any colorblind issues, but if there were, blue it can let you, hey, like I said, I understand, I'm on your side, I'm your guy in the pen, but let's really just kind of make sure that we are sticking to the regulations. We don't want to have some, file pusher up in the government, higher up offices decide to give us a tag, for a blue pen. It's all just the little things that stack up, and those guys are the ones who are out to get you. You know what I mean? Okay.
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
Yeah.
I sure do, David.
So, how's it going? And we'll cut away. We'll cut away from that scene. Back over at O'Sullivan's, Hank and Mike, are you what, seated together at a booth at the bar? Where do you want to set the scene?
I imagine it's at the bar itself, just because because Mike Hester has an interesting taste in alcohol, let's say.
Duly noted.
I think like this sort of thing is like a normal type of deal of like Mike orders a hot white Russian, but it only gets partially made because Mike insists that he brings his own coffee from home in his white in his like beat up thermos. This is why I spent a mask on keeping the thermos because like he loves it so much.
I think we're doing your stress
Yeah, I was
reliever.
gonna say, like, well, let's read the vulnerable move here real quick, just to just is when you have an intimate moment with another team member while one of you is engaged in your stress reliever. Once you're out of the woods, you may clear an appropriate condition. If it is your stress reliever, you can also stumble onto a clue for the next rescue. This is a very interesting way. So, because there are currently no active rescues, after the keeper introduces the new rescue, tell the keeper what the clue is via a flashback to this scene. And then alternatively, you could invite the other team member to ask you about your past if you so desired. So which stress reliever are we indulging in, Mike's or Hank's?
It sounds like Mike's is set up. It
All
sounds like
right,
we're set up
cool.
for Mike's.
Black coffee from the thermos. All right, well then the scene is set, and in the words of Jason Cordova, role play.
So we see Hank coming in. He sees Mike, and he points at him, even though they made eye contact. He's like, and so when he's dressed, he's not in his uniform, except he still has his orange hat. He's not in his uniform. He's wearing like cargo pants and like a long black t-shirt with a fleece vest that has like some kind of patch on it or something. So he slides next to the bar, and he takes off his hat, and we see on the back of his hat, somebody has written, it's not Hank's handwriting, but somebody has written Hank on the back of the hat, and it almost was like a child's like a child's handwriting. As he puts his hat there and orders a beer, the bartender probably knows what beer it is, so he just gets a beer, and it says Mike.
Hank.
Well, the reason why I'll just cut to the chase, Mike, I'm really thinking that if you've got any personal days saved up after that Paul Foster thing, maybe you should take some time off. What do you think? How's your foot?
All right.
I'm not gonna sugarcoat this. I'm telling you right now, I'm getting too old for this, and I am so glad I'm counting down the days. And it's I'm not saying that it's for everybody, but maybe something you should think about. How are you feeling out there?
Could be better.
Long drink of beer.
I think just Mike does not say like anything for a good like solid couple beats. This is just it's just a very awkward situation. I feel like as the silence continues to grow. And I'm so yeah, it really depends on embargo approving it.
That guy. Don't get me started on that guy, Mike. We're not here to talk about him. But listen, I didn't get a chance to talk to Roddy about this, but I'm starting to think that part of the park is just bonkers. Let's just—I don't know. I hate to say this, but I don't think I'm prepared to go back to that campground. Like that art installation, whoever's putting those stairs out there, that's just not safe. Those things could fall over, kids could play on them. It's just too much. We should, you know, what we should do. We should file a second grievance, but this time, send it to Washington D.C. Let's just go over Dave's head.
Yep.
You're with me on that?
Yep.
You would sign your name because I'm out, right? I'm not going to be around to deal with David much, but you would sign off on something like that, knowing that David's going to like see your name on it.
Yep.
I'll drink to that, and so I order another beer.
Let's cut over to Dallas once again. Dallas, following the press conference, what are you doing?
I think Dallas has gone back to their office and is just listening to like ambient noise in the background, like smiling and everything like that, and then closes the door and leans against it. And then just like presses a button. You just hear like ambient like noise rock playing. And it's just like massaging their temples. Fucking vultures. The press, all of them, just carrion birds. Time to relax.
There's a little, as soon as you say time to relax, there's a little sound that signifies an email that you just received from the board of directors.
Fucking vultures, all of them. And starts making their way over to the desk and then goes, actually, I need to relax. Play email of like a text to voice kind of thing.
And then you hear playing email. And then there's like a little like loading sound. And then it says, Mix Bartmas, we have received your most recent submission into your investigations that you have mentioned numerous times during previous board meetings. And while we admit that we find these findings intriguing, we are not entirely convinced as you are to begin allocating proper resources to the White Mountain Project, as you have described it. As this is being narrated, can you, Wes, narrate to us what the captured evidence of the mountain clue was that you secured for your plan with your hidden agenda move?
It was that, like, running off, chasing after the deer and everything. It was collecting deer scat, which was odd because, you know, deer scat, when it comes out, it's kind of like circular. It's like ovular or something like that. It was stranger. It was a little bit rougher hewn, a little bit more like flat along the edges, collecting that. And then also like just collecting footage and everything of this weird fucking deer that's just like walking with its weird fucking legs and everything. And like a audio recording of the hiss sound that it made. And like you just see Dallas, like while that's playing and hearing it, is just like derobing and is in the bathroom of the cot. It's the bathroom bedroom, and is like rubbing in like different like face rubs and like has like steam coming from a hot shower. It's like, what do you mean? And it's just like,
and the email continues, as it's being narrated, you just hear it say like, while the analysis departments have found these submissions to be intriguing, we are not yet entirely convinced of the monetization potential of the White Mountain Project. However, we are far from words are hard sometimes. We are far from disagreeing with your notions of interest, and are willing to continue to support the acquisition of additional findings to convince us of your passions. Signed, the Board of Directors, Bartmas Data Solutions. Then in parentheses beneath that, sent from my Samsung Galaxy.
They take their fucking, the cream that they were applying under their under bags and just throw it across the room that it hits the concrete wall. It's like, what do you need more? What do you need more findings? It's a weird fucking gear.
You may
What's
check
that
off a
word
box.
You're missing?
You may check a box on Hidden Agenda, and we will go back to the unseen.
And with that, what do you mean it's a weird fucking deer? Several large crows seem to be following Karen and Max. How did Max's behavior change when he noticed the black birds? Max, being a golden retriever, carries himself, you know, a bit dopey, a little bit cheerfully and everything, looking around at the world and everything like that. But as these large crows start looming overhead and following along Karen and Max, you see Max starts slinking a little bit more, moving closer to the ground, starting to move in shadows a little bit more and not in the sunlight like he's often want to do, essentially trying to avoid and will occasionally make those low dog whimpers under his tone. So essentially, instead of just being cheerful, unnoticing kind of dog, has gone to this like just absolute shadow of what he once was, as these large crows just seem to circle and follow.
Back at headquarters, I think you're wrapping up for the day, Roderick.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a little scene of what Roderick is wrapping up and what the drive home is like.
He is filling out a small piece of paperwork with a blue pen, and he finishes it and puts it in one of those little slots like you're supposed to, because it's actual physical paperwork, like it's 1995. And then he's got everything organized on his desk, and it's quiet. Embargo's probably the only other one in the office, like always. And
yeah, you can just hear Steely Dan coming from his office.
Yeah, it's terrible. And Roderick walks out. We watch him walk to his car, which is kind of like it's a beat up like SUV that's on a truck chassis, and it's kind of it's clearly like a used car. It's kind of scraped up, but you know, it works. It's got four-wheel drive. And it's quiet the entire way home. And because he doesn't turn on music, he doesn't do any of that. And he gets home and it's still quiet, because Roderick lives alone and doesn't really have anything else going on outside of this job. And every time he goes home from it, it's just this, it feels empty. And he realizes it and he tries to fill it up with more work.
Brutal. Segwaying transition shot to O'Sullivan's bar, where Dirty Work by Steely Dan is playing on the jukebox. And we continue this scene a little bit more.
I think now we see several pint glasses mm-hmm. in front of Hank, and the bartender keeps taking them away. And mm-hmm. Hank is looking at Mike pretty intensely. And then he says, "No, I can't do it. I can't. If I do it, if we do this thing, then that means we're just as bad as they are, right? If we use the tools of the enemy to fight the enemy, that makes us the enemy, Mike. That makes us the enemy.
No, that's bullshit. Come on now.
It's a lot of work. And who's going to read it? Nobody. Nobody's going to read it. And we're going to spend, I don't know, 15 minutes to an hour working on this stuff. And then nothing's going to happen. They're going to twist it around. They're going to twist it around and use it against us. Mark my words.
I know, Embargo, it goes on and on about blue pens versus black pens. And even though that the government supplies us with blue pens, it doesn't. Come on.
You guys are using pens?
Yeah.
That's the thing, see? That's part of the problem.
It is not, the pens are not the, no. Listen, people pay attention to when things are important, such as when lives are at stake.
You know what we need? We need a stamp. And we can put urgent, like we can buy, you can buy these online. And we could get it in red ink and it says urgent and we just stamp that at the top. I'm just spitballing here, Mike. I don't know.
It just needs to be like in multiples to like ca cause a lot of attention. Fill someone else's mailbox up because they sure as hell fill up mine, and I get the shit done. I get that I'm your. I'm basically gonna replace you after you're gone, Hank.
Are you okay to drive?
I can walk home. I like live like 3 blocks away.
I don't, well. Anyways, I wonder, is the kitchen still open?
Let's cut over now to Dallas again. Where do we find Dallas now?
Just relaxing in the bathtub is probably listening to something like Higher Love by Steve Winwood or Dirty Work by Steely Dan. And is just like sipping like some green juice and relaxing in this tub with like a leg dangling out and goes, "It's okay, Dallas. The board doesn't understand. They'll see eventually. And it's okay. I think after this most recent expedition, I think that I'm a shoo-in, honestly, for a replacement for Hank McBride. I mean, overseeing the entire office is, well, just wait until they get to know the Wilderness Boys. Like, they can't say no. Just like drain the rest of it and grimace. And then stand up and then just like toss the glass into the bathtub. And is wandering out,
Shatters, yeah.
yeah, and just starts like answering emails, like doing voice to text. That sounds great. Approved. Let's go ahead and circle back around and talk about that at our next all hands. Disapproved. This kind of thing, just like going through, not even really paying attention to the request being
Just in a
made, just being like
towel
in a towel, yeah, in the
and
office.
dancing to Dirty Work by Steely Dan in the background.
Yeah, and doing voice to text, answering emails, like a good supervisor does. Yeah.
All right, let's hear the last bit of the unseen.
So, let's go back to that. Karen was thinking about turning back early due to uneasiness, but noticed Max was inexplicably, or unexplainably, sorry, no longer on the leash. What was the second thing she noticed before the world went black? So Karen is thinking about finally turning back. Max has been acting weird, and then the leash goes slack. And she looks up, and there is no dog. And she looks to the side, and to the side in the undergrowth, and she hears something above. It sounds a little bit like the birds, but it's not. And as she glances up into the tree, she sees something too long, too bony, but it looks like a hand grasping down. And the world goes black.
Roderick opens the door to his home. Let me ask you about this, Roderick. Can you describe where Roderick lives in or around the town of Plymouth? What would surprise the other characters about his home? And what assumptions would they have that would pan out if they saw his home?
It's an apartment that's somewhere in town, not like super in the center, but obviously it's not in the woods. And I think the thing that they would all really probably expect is the weird sort of organization level. And you're all welcome to add something to his apartment if you want, because that's delightful. And I think that they would be really expecting that sort of like the neatness. It looks like his desk. I think that they would be surprised that there is knitting, like he knits, because he needs his hands to be busy. And he's actually got like a project, like a scarf hanging on the back of a chair that's half finished. And it's I think that that's and it's he's got bookshelves like lined with mostly nonfiction, mostly practical stuff. And you know, some maybe a few fiction books, but not many.
I think what's surprising is like on like one of these bookshelves, like there is like this sort of touristy gimmicky snow globe for White Mountain National Forest that I think was just given as a bit of a gag from Mike to Roderick at some point. But it would surprise Mike that you still kept it.
Yeah, Roderick actually kind of liked it. He thought it was sweet.
I think on most of the walls are like framed. It's like diplomas and certificates, certified Google Suite. We have all these things that you've printed out, and some of them are framed and some of them are in folders. But we can see from the walls some of the things that you've done or accomplished.
Definitely.
There's a banjo that is hanging up on the wall that has not been touched since it has been gifted by someone close to Roderick.
Obsessed with this. Absolutely.
Go ahead and tell us how Roderick ends his evening.
I think Roderick goes home, cooks dinner, and puts on some music, turns on the radio, and it is Steely Dan. And I think that he ends his evening, and it's like he turns it on actually because of this buzzing, and he swears to God it must just be the tinnitus, but it's way worse than it usually is. And so he's, because normally he kind of keeps it quiet because he likes the quiet, but this is just kind of getting out of hand, so he has to turn on the radio. And he does his normal nighttime routine and goes to bed. And normally he leaves like the window not open, as in like the a critter could get in from outside, because he's not an idiot, but he leaves the blinds open because it's kind of nice and you can kind of see the woods, and you can kind of see like for in the distance a little bit over the rest of the town. But tonight he closes them because the last time he was, it's he can't help but think about some of the things that he and Mike saw, and he and him and Dallas saw, and that weird deer, and he keeps thinking about that goddamn deer. And so he just shuts the blinds.
Wrap up the scene at O'Sullivan's, if you'd be so kind.
I think, I imagine it's time to go home, and like we're like standing outside, like, and Mike, true to his word, is going to walk home because he actually walks to the bar. Like, and I think it, just saying goodbye to like Sergeant Hank and just what it. Honestly, my place is closer, so you can just, I don't know, crash on the couch if you want, Hank.
I appreciate it, but most of the beers I was drinking, they're non-alcoholic. I'm just gonna head
Fuck
back.
you. Like, oh, I didn't realize that. I
I always
wouldn't try
alternate.
to
I think I only had like two beers. I always alternate. You gotta pace yourself. You gotta pace yourself, Mike.
Apparently, yeah. I don't know how you can
They all
handle
taste
it,
the same.
Hank. I don't know how you can handle it, Hank.
Yeah, but I'm not. So that's the answer to your question there, Mike. But if you want me to give you a ride.
All right. I wouldn't mind a ride.
Hop in, the door sticks. So just pull on it.
Yeah,
Now
I think
pull down and out. Down and out.
that God, you Either get someone to replace this handle or get a new car.
Well, you know, I think when I head to Florida, I don't think the admissions, I don't think Florida state allows this kind of admissions in this kind of truck. I'm just gonna give it to one of my kids.
All right. Overwrap.
I wait until I see Mike go into his home, and then I turn around. I do a U-turn and head back towards Plymouth.
I think as Mike, as the car was driving, headlights illuminating the forest, I think just for a brief moment, the headlights pass over a bit of the tree line, and you can see a set of stairs just caught in the headlights for a brief moment before back in the darkness. Dallas, go ahead and wrap up your out of the woods activity.
Finally, Dallas is like comfortable wearing like a very rustic looking but comfortable flannel shirt, and like nice like sweatpants shorts kind of material, but they seem to be like designer Balenciaga probably, and walks out onto a balcony that's in the office and is like sipping a mocktail. And holds up a photo, and it's a like a digital rendering of like this, like you could see the tree line in the mountain, and you see this like massive glass spire that has antenna coming off of it. And it's labeled the Bart Moss Data Solutions virtual biome, and then moves it aside. You can just see the mountain normally, and then holds it up again and goes, "Perfect. Just perfect. Right there. Could probably be seen in the entire tri-state area." Sips the mocktail and just refreshingly goes to bed. Just, you
In
know
fact,
what?
before you
It's.
go to bed, because we have you have a lingering crown to narrate, the crown of
Oh,
loneliness.
that's
You weren't
good.
present. So if you could now narrate a flashback to a time when Dallas truly felt alone and whether that was a positive or negative experience.
Was is a flashback to a time where Dallas felt truly alone, and it was it okay. I think you see Dallas, at the age of 20. On a backpacking slash like hiking trip, with their like the Wilderness Club with their college they went to. A very modest Southern California tech school, that shall not be named yet. But they're going along and hiking. And they're like talking. You can see them like talking, and it's almost like they're talking to somebody. And they stop, and the camera kind of pans slowly to who they've been gesturing towards, and you don't see anybody there. And they look over and they're like, "Skeeter? Chris? Chad? Chad too? Shit. I just talked them off. They're gone." And then we see scenes of like Dallas like hiking along the trail and not seeing any like trailblazers or any like trailheads or anything like that, and just hiking along, and just saying, "Hello? Hello? Okay. All right. Serenity. This is okay. Serenity. Solace. Complete loneliness." And just like sits down and rests. And then a hard cut to a nighttime that they have fallen asleep and they're stuck at night in these woods. And they can hear animals and bugs all around them. And you can just see the moonlight fading through the trees. And then being like, okay, let me go ahead and make a camp, and seeing them make a fire and everything by themselves, and just kind of sitting and talking to themselves. And then the next day, them walking and walking and hearing a noise. And at first it sounds like a low hiss noise, similar to that deer sound. And as they get closer, it turns more and more to a roar and a roar, and they find a waterfall. And they look around and just take their backpack off and wade into the middle of the pool that the waterfall is like falling into, and just look up, and you can see like there's a little bit of rainbow flecks in the waters and everything, and like you can't hear anything except for the water crashing into more water. And they just start laughing and relaxing at everything, and they're truly at peace. And then you hear somebody say, "Bormas! Bormas, you fucking weirdo! What are you doing in there?" And you just see a bunch of like dude tech bros wearing like, you know, zip up vests and everything with their hiking, like walking poles and everything at the top of the waterfall. "We totally thought we lost your ass, dude. We totally thought we lost your, hey, look out below." And then just splashing, and that solace, that solitude, that serenity is just broken. And I think you can see a little bit of like a popped blood vessel in the corner of Dallas's eye of just like, it was perfect, and then it was ruined.
And so ends the Out of the Woods phase. I'm going to introduce the next rescue. Then we'll take a quick break, especially because I assume Chaotic will formulate a clue that you want to create, I assume.
No, I do not want to create a clue. I want to do the other thing.
You wanted to ask about your past?
Yeah.
Okay, weirdo. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, we'll have that scene happen in the rescue then, mm-hmm. as opposed to that actual scene. I love that, though. Our next rescue, everybody, let me get it up here, is the fallen photographer. The team has traveled about an hour north on I-93 to the presidential range of the White Mountains, specifically Mount Adams near Randolph, New Hampshire. You're searching for a fallen nature photographer, Rex Barnaby, who tumbled down the ridge this morning. Rex hired a registered trail guide to take him up the challenging almost 9-mile trail and apparently fell down the steep gully, but was not located at the bottom. With a possible head injury, he seems to have wandered off. Volunteer search folks showed up first and have been scouring the area on ATVs. Clive Thicket is their organizer, and he is currently bringing the registered guide, Benny Garstecki, to the first responder base camp at the trailhead to one of the ambulances that is already on the scene. Let's paint the scene. The King Ravine Trail parking lot has lots of vehicles belonging to the volunteer rescue workers, sheriff deputies, and two ambulances. What about their demeanor makes it seem like they are all reluctant to head out on the trail to assist the search?
Because they keep on making plans, like, about, like, how to approach the situation, and they actually have not left the parking lot.
I think they all have coffees in their hands.
There's a big sign that has, it's a big sign, and it has all kinds of warnings about this trail. If it's inclement weather, if you have asthma, if you are not in good physical shape, it has all these warnings. And then you look at a lot of the folks, and they're just not, they don't like check all the boxes to qualify to go on this 9-mile trail. So they're kind of like, you know, sucking in their guts and trying to like stall.
While they're stalling and enjoying their coffee, they're swapping stories about times that they've heard people missing on this trail. And like, they're like, Oh, you think that's weird? Well, you know, apparently Dudley found a pair of boots tied up on like a tree branch and everything. Like, and they're just trying to like top each other with their with like weird missing person stories about this trail specifically.
Very good. That's everyone? Yeah? All right, cool. Deputy Sheriff Meg Northrup greets your team and says, "Glad you folks made it. We don't want to pull folks in here for a night search on account of the rough terrain. We might end up losing more people to go rescue. So I hope you can help knock this one out of the park." She points over to the injured man on the gurney with two EMTs checking him out. That's the guide, Benny Garstecki. Do you want to talk to him first? Here's the establishing question for, oh my God, I have the ranger, the medic, and the veteran in this one. I have to choose one of you. I'll give this one to Roderick. Why not? This trail has had many injuries over the years due to its steep inclines and rocky terrain. You know of a muddy trail that is actually a shortcut to the trail's main ascent, but why do most people avoid it?
I think most people avoid it because it is really steep and it's got, there's like these brambles that cover where you have to start. And so you kind of have to like push them aside and actually like go up it. And I have also found, I think I probably responded to someone being injured on that part of the trail too, because it is muddy and they ate shit at the top and fell all the way back down. It's safer than the regular trail, but not by a lot.
This rescue has a special rule. This comes with a lightweight litter made from red and black aluminum and padded red plastic and canvas. It is collapsible and can be attached to a backpack. But when it has someone on it, two people will have to carry. It does have a hitch system where a helicopter winch can attach and pull a person up to safety. Roderick, you may add the lightweight litter to your personal items for the duration of this rescue.
Sweet.
Yes. The rescue question, your first one that is available to you, is where is the fallen photographer? Complexity 4. Answering that allows you the opportunity to locate Rex Barnaby and rescue him. But it also unlocks another question you could optionally choose to pursue. I'm not going to tell you what that is right now, but yeah. And the crown for this rescue is the Crown of the Black Antlers. So let's take 10, and then when we come back, we will dive into the fallen photographer. All right, so we are going to begin the fallen photographer in the first responder base camp. Volunteer trucks, two ambulances, and a few deputy sheriff's SUVs are in the parking lot. Someone has put up a temporary command tent with a folding table and maps of the area. Volunteers have just returned from a sweep and are hydrating and planning out their next area search. Let's paint the scene. What about their gear makes the volunteer search teams look overprepared?
They just like have like a bunch of like clips, like rope, like they're ready to like cl climb up a straight up cliff face. But it's just really a steep hill. It's a little bit muddy. You don't need that much gear for that.
I think a bunch of them actually have like firearms, like you know,
Like
like they have
guns?
like rifles. They have like rifles and things, and tactical vest with like stuff velcroed on it. That's what I'm picturing.
I know we have somebody that is capable of utilizing a four-wheeler, an ATV, but I think there's also multiple ATVs parked out here. There's multiple ATV trailers. It seems like every single volunteer that owns an off-road vehicle is like Oh no, it almost looks like a fucking rally. Like if you've ever gone to an off-road rally, it's just a bunch of fuckers with coolers and ATVs and shit.
I think they also like the ones, maybe they're overcompensating for the fact they don't have ATVs or maybe as cool of firearms. They have backpacks like these high, they're that are just absolutely overstuffed. Like they are going on the Appalachian Trail overstuffed. Like it's not even practical.
Very nice. So, as a reminder of the scene, Deputy Sheriff Meg Northrup is here. She pointed at the trail guide Clint Thicket, who brought the volunteer Clint Thicket, who brought the trail guide Benny Garstecki to a in on a gurney, and EMTs are currently checking Benny out. So lingering on the there are people moving around the area, and obviously the trail itself, you know, the shortcuts, there's the main trail. It's a lot going on around you. Let's go in character keeper order here. What is Roderick doing on site?
I think I'm go like are there any EMTs that are not currently occupied? Because I'm not gonna like interrupt
They
people.
don't look the ones there are, you know, there are two ambulances, so there are a handful of EMTs here. So there's
Okay.
there are some that are not like actually working, but even the ones who are, like Garstecki doesn't look horrifically wounded, so they don't look like they're necessarily they got their hands full per se. They're just checking him out and looking him over.
Okay, yeah, because I think I would go talk to those cats. Those are my peeps. And check and see how Garstecki got hurt, what sort of the situation is up there, you know, what they, anything like that, what we might expect to happen to the photographer, what, you know.
So going to you're gonna go talk to Benny
Yeah, I'm gonna go
Garstecki.
talk. I'm gonna go, yeah, I'm gonna go talk to Garstecki
Cool.
and the EMTs.
Gotcha. What about Mike?
Mike is going to try to team up with Sergeant Hank McBride, because like God, there's a lot of people around here, and I'm not great with this many people. And frankly, there's a lot of guns, so like Hank may need some backup on that regard, because depending on who has what licenses, there might be some arrests qu happening quite soon.
All right, well, stick in with Sergeant Hank then. What are you up to? What is your plan of attack here?
I think I'm with Roddy in talking to these people before we head out. I think I'm gonna talk to probably Clint Thicket. Maybe I kind of want to talk to the deputy sheriff, but I think Clint's more important than the deputy sheriff. The search volunteer team there. I'm gonna try to talk to Clint, and I'm picturing like if Mike's looking kind of like wary about all this stuff. I think I'm gonna suggest to Mike. You probably ought to get your ATV off the trailer, because Roddy knows a shortcut. We can take Roddy's shortcut and get away from this circus.
What do they think about bringing guns to search and rescue? Come
It's New Hampshire, but
on.
I think it's because it's a weekend and you get all these guys coming out of the woodwork on the weekend. I much prefer a Wednesday search and rescue.
Here's a question for Alex. What season is it?
It's like summer.
Yeah, and but that doesn't still explain why they bring a bunch of guns, because even on a weekend,
Oh,
like,
it's definitely New Hampshire. It's just guns everywhere.
yeah, okay.
Live free or die.
All right, and what is Dallas doing?
Dallas looks over at Mike and has a durable laptop, like a one of those durable laptops, and goes, "Mike, do you want to have the trails to yourself, or do you want to have a crackpot team of professionals at your beck and call?"
I am the professional.
All right. Fine. And I'm going to go ahead and like radio it and go, stand down, WBs. Not yet. It's not your time. And I'm going to set on one of these, like, it's somebody else's, like one of the volunteers, like crates or whatever. I'm going to set down and open up this this heavy duty laptop that you see the Bart Moss Data Solutions logo on it. And then I'm going to say, one moment, and then type in. And you see a panel in this like Land Rover that Dallas drove up here opens. And I am using one of my boxes for state of the art everything. As you see an advanced drone just hovers and it has cameras on all sides, everything like that. And goes,
yes. Can you read what the advanced drone does from your move?
With a variety of cameras and extended batteries that allow it to be in operation for several hours, Kiefer reveals two relevant clues from the drone's perspectives.
Ooh.
So I'm just going to kind of loudly say, man, I wonder if anybody around here would like to see what's going to make search and rescue parties obsolete within the next 5 years. And go to look at Mike and wink as like very actively trying to show off this toy. To all the people around here to give Mike a little bit of breathing room.
Oh, absolutely. Draws some eyes from the volunteers people. Just it's like, this is borderline military tech. Like this
yeah,
is like
it's almost Predator. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's like, I've been playing a lot of Deus Ex recently. So just like the government boxy, mm-hmm. like military drone is taking to the wilderness to surveil from above, wild. But that definitely draws some eyes, kind of buying Mike and Sergeant Hank a little kind of like moment of quiet. Clint Thicket is not drawn towards them like the rest of his volunteer team is, so he's still available to speak with. But if you wanted to talk with Mike beforehand, this would be a great opportunity to as well. Mm-hmm. You're muted.
I think as we're helping, I'm helping Mike push the ATV off his trailer. I think I make a note like, hey, Mike, when I dropped you off the other night, I know she didn't really, there was nobody really there. You haven't mentioned it, but do you have like any family around here?
No, not really. I sort of moved to the area a few years ago.
Where are your people?
Back in Pennsylvania. Just needed a bit of a change of scenery, really. It's fine. It really is.
Well, you know, I got just about everybody. I'm like I still have a couple living uncles. I got a big family in this area, so mm-hmm. if you ever need hooked up, you know, something to do, I got lots of people up here. The McBrides are known for, you know, our outdoor enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. That's real nice for you, Hank.
Let's go check with Roderick. You're walking over to the EMTs who are kind of wrapping up with just giving a check on Benny, who is dressed in a red shirt, a red t-shirt with black shorts, red hiking boots. Red Ridge Guiding is printed on the back of his t-shirt. His backpack and gear were retrieved as well, and it looks severely damaged in the fall. He looks to be like scraped up, but it's mostly like superficial. It's, you know, they bandage him up, but like he's still kind of like seated on the gurney. He's kind of like got like some bruises forming, got like a couple cuts and scrapes on his face, but they've been cleaning them up. And you see that there's like a cut in his cheek, probably from like hitting like a rock or something. And like they've just done the like it didn't need stitches, but they did put the tape on it to like, mm-hmm. you know, keep it nice and like kind of like firmly sealed up. Yeah, what do you do as you approach?
Well, first, I know Hank was kind of hanging with me. I don't know if you're actually, like, with me or, like, there's, like, you're talking to the other person is really, like, further away. What's the setup here? The person that Hank and Mike were going to talk to.
Clint Thicket's, like, a bit, like, it's probably, like, okay. Adjacent to the ambulances a little bit down the way. But, like, yeah, it kind of, like, okay. Split off. Yeah.
I just didn't want to assume that Hank and Mike in Dallas if they want to, weren't involved in this conversation.
Dallas is piloting is helping pilot a drone from the laptop, and Hank and Mike have kind of like forked off from you to go talk to Clint near like the other side of where he is.
I mentioned like we're in within eyesight range, but not within hearing range effectively.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I
especially with Dallas rattling off the specs of the drone to all the onlookers, I imagine.
Oh my god.
It's wild, but you can't imagine when this thing gets about 150 horsepower, which you're not really registering horsepower when you don't have a combustion engine. But, you know, Dallas Data Solutions, we like to break barriers.
Oh my god, Roderick is glad to not be having to field that. And instead kind of does the little the sup nod to the EMTs, a little greeting, and
they give you the sup nod back.
You know. And what was this guy's name again?
Benny Garstecki.
Okay. Mr. Garstecki.
Yeah. Hey. He kinda like sits up a little bit, kinda like he looks like he may have like a bruised rib or two, but nothing too serious, but definitely not comfortable. Yeah.
Hey. You don't worry. You don't got to get up.
Nah, it's fine. If they found me laying on my ass anyway, I'd rather sit on it than be laying on it.
I get that. I'm Roger Crops. I'm with the National Forest Service, and we're here looking for the person you were with. Could you give me a little bit of details about what happened?
I mean, yeah, Rex hired me to guide him up the trail. I mean, I've hiked up to Castle Point in the Kings Ravine area many times now. It's a long hike, but I mean, I've done it more than a few times, and Rex, he had, you know, he checked out, he was in good physical condition, he wanted to take some photographs. I've done this thing 100 times before. It is a pretty dangerous hike if you're not careful, but like we were being careful. Why don't you go ahead and roll the rescue move plus your presence, or search move. I always say confuse it too. Search move plus your all presence.
Right. And let's
no disadvantage from the buzzing, I'd say.
Probably not. I was like, I got a zero on presence.
Unless you want to mark an item to get advantage on it.
No, okay. I'm good. That is a six.
It's a miss. Okay, cool. I will get back to you. You die. No. I'll come back to that scene. Just chaotic is still not over the fact that I killed someone on a missed like clue finding roll, which I just think is the funniest thing.
I'm here for that shit. Yeah. I don't know about you.
Hank and Mike, you two walk up to Clint Thicket. Clint is very sweaty. And he already seems a bit like tired and more than a little frustrated. He is wearing a blaze orange search volunteer safety vest, and is kind of standing on like underneath one of like the little command tents they've set up here, where he's got like a map of the area marked off like the lower trails that they've already searched on their ATVs. Is kind of just going over that while muttering like frustratedly about the drone show off thing over there and how everyone's like drawn to that as opposed to actually doing their fucking job. Anyone, you two walk up.
I say, hey, I'm Sergeant McBride, and this is one of our law enforcement officers, Ranger Mike Hester's. We're getting ready to go up, and I see you guys have covered a lot of ground, but it looks like you've only been doing ATV, like the ATV trails.
Yeah, we've been doing the lower trails on the ATVs because, well, you know, it's tough ridge, and the deputy sheriff's been very vocal about not wanting anyone to get in harm's way, which I understand. I understand. This is not my first rodeo, as it were, but I've been wanting to spread out to the other trails, but we've mostly been covering what we can get on the ATV safely.
Yeah, do you think this injured photographer is walking around on the trails?
I mean, from what they were telling us, he went up on the trails and they fell at some point from the high point up on the Castle Point. If I mean, like, We've mostly been looking on the lower trails, which is kind of near the bottom of the ravine. But you know that, I assume you know the area pretty well. Mm-hmm. From what we were looking at, it's a lot of ridgeline, a lot of it's very, what's the like right term? Varied topography. Yeah, it's, this is a mess of a place. I'm surprised they actually let people hike up here, but
it's got warning signs. Hey, yeah, it does. But has your guys seen anything? It seems like everybody's here.
Yeah,
is it too muddy? Like, what's the problem?
We've been following the hiking trails and logging roads in the area all morning. We've covered a lot of ground, but so far we haven't really spotted anything as to like where he might be. Go ahead and make the move plus presence. Your condition won't affect you either. This is not something that you're too old for.
I am currently conditionless.
Oh, you are. That's right. You are conditionless. Oh, yep. So this will be search plus your presence. Do you have an item you want to add to that?
I don't think he'll be impressed with David Embargo's.
No one would be impressed by David Embargo.
No, I don't have any.
That's fine.
No. Yeah. 6 and a 4. And I don't even know what my presence zero. Is zero, so solid 10.
Solid 10. Very nice. You get a clue. Take a look at my clue list here. Well, I'll tell you the truth, Sergeant McBride. It was,
yeah,
Sergeant McBride. Tell you the truth, as I'm not sure if you can tell, but a lot of the volunteers are a little overprepared, a little spooked. They actually, while the sheriff told us you guys were on the drive up. That's kind of when we started to like fall back into camp here and stop going on runs. Guys have been talking. A few of them are feeling a little dissuaded from going out on the trails again. Started grabbing their firearms from their cars, and he looks over at you, Mike, and says, "And I did already check for all of their registrations. I've compiled that here at the command, and if you want to look over all of their They're all registered firearms. I looked through it. Feel free to check yourself. But a few of my guys were talking about how they heard some animal out there in the trails growling in the underbrush, or I don't know, like hissing. I didn't get a good. It just spooked them, and that's your clue. Reports of something growling or hissing in the underbrush in the area.
Well, it is. It is the woods, Clint. You know,
That's what I told them.
We're in their environment, right?
Yeah. No, that's what I told these guys. Listen, I'm just a volunteer. I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but like, I get it. I do. I've done this for many years now when I get the opportunity to come help. And all these guys, they're all like, you know, they're just all bluster about it. And then the second they actually encounter like, a possum, even like they're all like up in arms about it.
Well, you know, there's so many times volunteers have really helped us out and made a difference. So we're glad you're here. We'll just communicate with the base camp here because we're going to go on up. We're going to go on up probably where they fail and start down from there. That's probably what we're going to do.
Well, good enough plan as any. Ranger, were you going to say something?
Oh, jeez. It just goes to show you what these people think that the guns are used for, really. Oh, God.
We're not impeding the Second Amendment, though.
No, it's more of an issue that at this time of year that they're going to see a lot of possums and that whatnot, that they get a little bit frisky in the summertime.
They are jumpy lately. I'm with you, Ranger. I get it.
Clint, you could do like a safety briefing about what not to shoot, which is pretty much everything. I don't know. While they're here, you could tell them about, you know,
gun safety,
firearm usage in the national forest.
Well, I'll do my best, but this is New Hampshire. He like walks off. And great, let's go. Give Dallas. Well, actually, I'll give Dallas your clues in a moment that you'll survey. But I want to talk about like what Roderick got on the miss. Let's see here. I'm not going to do any like hard reactions, honestly, because it like, fictionally would not make sense.
I was like, Godspeed, do what you want.
It's actually simple. Yeah, well, it simply, I'll keep it like very, very mundane, which is just to say that actually Benny is concussed. And there are large like gaps in his memory. So like he doesn't have any information, and even like he had a quote written for him that was like a little bit of information about something that kind of happened. I'm not even gonna give you that because like that's like no! That's been like that's that like that's the like the con- he's concussed and he has no like real solid recollection of anything that happened out in the trail.
Damn it,
I took your quote away.
Damn it,
you could put on a crown.
That's what know? I was like, can I was like, is that like feasible that I could?
Yeah, that's absolutely. You'll bump up the result. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was like, I don't want to get rid of the quote that seems important. I agree. Damn. Yeah, I'll mark a crown of the forest, and I can just sort of mark any of them.
Yeah, mark any of them.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't know if just from a game designer perspective, is there like one you should pick that it should it like relate to the thing?
No, it can be any way you want.
Sick. Okay.
It's the crown of the mountain that you have to do in order, but the crowns of the forest, you can pick anyone. Yeah,
fabulous. Okay, I've marked a crown.
Cool. Do you want to narrate that now or wait a little bit?
We can do whatever you think is narratively interesting.
Okay, well then we'll get back to that in a moment then. So yes. For now though, you'll bump your result up to a clue with a complication. Yeah, I like this. I think your complication, let's see, I'll give you that first before I give you the clue and everything else. I'm not going to give you a condition with it. I'm going to just, here's the complication. And I've never done this before, but so like it, you know, I'm being experimental with it. From the descriptions of both just like the EMTs and like the just the vibe from the current region, you know that there is a very real chance that like Rex could be seriously injured, and like things are already bad enough as it is in terms of just like departmental, like just like with like funding and all that. Your complication is you need to check a box on your 3 usage of first aid kit to represent the fact that you are reserving supplies that you like, you know, so it's like you have to have some supplies that you are keeping in order to treat him, but that is one less use you might be able to use for future events. Yeah.
I love that.
That's your complication. Good. Yeah. Ooh. As for the, but you'll get a clue as Benny's talking to you. He says, let's see. He says, well, this is going to sound kind of nuts, but I'm willing to bet that, well, I swear on the Bible even, that like something pushed us both off of the ridgeline. I heard Rex shout, and when I turned, something hit me and went falling halfway down the ravine up by Castle Point.
Something hit, like what kind of?
I didn't see. Just something hit us. And right before I, as I was turning and I, before mm-hmm. I felt the impact, and then I just, the sky spinning above me, I just was overwhelmed by just a stench of body odor.
Like human or animal?
A human, I would assume, because we were the only two out there. But the entire hike, Rex didn't have, well, the guy didn't stink. It just had like, I don't know. It's, I told you, it's bizarre, but like, as I, right before it happened, suddenly assailed by the stench of human body odor, and then just felt something slam into me. And next thing I know, I was waking up with cuts and scrapes all over me and dragging myself through part of the ridgeline right before they found me.
You didn't see the other guy?
No.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So that your clue was the strong smell of human BO. Hey, don't look at me like that, Kayla. Like, Daniel wrote these clues.
I don't even remember that one.
Daniel wrote it in a fugue state.
Yeah, he did. I feel like that's like so many of like these clues are just like, oh, this is weird. I love it.
To me, the clues are like the hardest because I can do like, I can come up with like 8 or 9 and then I'm like, I need 20. Oh, okay. And then I just start like.
Yeah. Just fugue state. Yeah. There you go. Dallas, as for you though, you're a little dip. Like while that's going on, you've been piloting the drone and all that, which this thing moves fast and it gets up real high. And the thing about this like area is like, it's a long hike, but it's like, because it's just like the topography. So it's like your drone's actually able to cover a pretty good amount of ground that like would take you hours. I'm going to give you 2 clues as per your thing. First of all, on the drone footage, you spot a dark shape moving down into the ravine. So that's number 1.
Okay. Go ahead and repeat that for me as well. A dark shape moving down into the ravine.
There you go. And this is not a mountain clue, but it is kind of bizarre. What you first think is like maybe camera distortion. It's like, no, like there's like a slight shimmering in the air over Castle Point and the King's Ravine. That's a regular clue. So that's.
Just reminds me of Annihilation a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm gonna be like, look at that. You see that? That's strange. That's real strange. Got a radio. Hey, Mike.
I'm like less than 20 feet away from you.
Yeah, it doesn't even realize it. Thought you already got on the ATV and everything like that. Hey, Mike. Over. Sorry. Over.
Dallas, I'm right here.
Well, yeah, buddy, you're always right here. I mean, you're one of the most reliable members of the team. Over. Oh, shit. Why are you not on your ATV? Aren't you supposed to be out there, like, hunting this guy down?
We're talking to people who are already gone on the trails a little bit just to find out what areas have been looked at.
Okay, all right. I see y'all want to talk about things instead of being about it. I thought we were U.S. Forest Services, you know? I thought we were all about action and doing stuff. And you see, like Dallas just puts the controls of the drone into some random guy's hands and goes, don't break it, you'll owe me a tons of money. And just goes over to the Land Rover and just puts on a backpack and everything and, like, tightens their boots and everything and looks over at Mike and says, we doing this thing or not?
Alice, you're just so weird. What? Okay.
Hey,
yes.
Hey, Mike, let me tell you something. Back in the day when I was just crunching data and building programs before Bart Moss Data Solutions was Bart Moss Data Solutions, I'll tell you something that my boss told me. Every second you're not crunching, you're losing. And we're losing seconds. We're burning daylight out here. All right? Gonna pat Mike on the shoulder and start heading for one of the trails.
Yeah. And like Mike, watching Dallas drive like away and off, I just get a look of like, yeah, he's gonna get stuck up there. That's a mud hole that he's approaching.
He's got water. That's what's important. Everybody's gotta hydrate, Mike.
Yeah,
got water. We'll be okay.
Yeah, we're just gonna have to pick him up later. That's
That drone is like a helicopter. I bet it can hook onto his backpack and carry him out.
Who knows? Maybe.
Goes ahead and hits a flap, and so the drone attaches to the back of the doesn't do that, but does grab the controls from the person that was probably floating around and everything like that, and it's just gonna put it in hover mode, just letting it kind of like do like a patrol just around the area, and essentially gonna take that location, clip the controls, and it's just going to hike out towards where they saw the dark shape in the shimmer.
I want to do something weird because I think it might be fun, and you can opt in. It's not like a thing I'm going to force upon you. This is not part of the move, but I think it would be interesting based on something Jason Cordova's done in another game before, which is if you want to take the condition, the drone, you can clear that at any time, but okay. As long as you do have it, you can use the drone for advantage on relevant roles, but it might give disadvantage on other roles as well.
Okay. Yeah. No, I like that. I think that's sick. I think that's nifty.
Yeah, I just think it's a fun idea because I like the idea of you having it follow you around and all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. What do we think, gang? Is it time to hit the trails and go looking?
Time for me to hit the trails with my ATV.
Yes, it is. We also,
if Dallas Bartmoss is hitting the trail before Mike Hester's, and something's up. You know.
Yeah, I was about to say. Now, I will say that there are. You do have 4 clues if you wanted to take a crack at going ahead and answering the main question, unless you want to wait a little bit longer.
How lucky do we feel?
I don't, those, except for the shimmering, I don't think they're very like location.
All right.
Like they're not like that's location
fine.
Clues.
That's fine. They? No, not really. I mean, that's fine.
The dark shape moving and then the slight shimmering. But other than that, the other two don't really.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, that's totally good. Then we'll continue on. Now, I'll give you a little bit of like the topography of this place, especially because Mike, you're about to use your ATV, which lets you get to another place. Like, I believe, how does the move work again? Hold on.
It allows me to get there pretty much first out of everyone.
Yeah, you can just like scout to a new location. Okay, so you may scout ahead to a new location. Okay, so here's a bit of the topography of the place. So there is the main trail. But then the muddy trail shortcut Roderick is familiar with will shaves about 45 minutes off of the hike. And that will eventually, both of those things eventually lead to a rocky ascent, which then leads up to Castle Point. And then from Castle Point, there are hiking trails down into the rocky gully and parts of King's Ravine. And there's a bit of like a like marshland down below on the other side of the ravine as well. So, would you say that Mike would be taking the main hiking part on the ATV, and then while the people are taking the shortcut, or do you have an idea for where you want to take the ATV for?
I think with how it's been described, I can't take the ATV on the like the shortcut because it's just too steep and too muddy. So it's going to be on the main trail. But because it's an ATV, it goes a little bit.
So like
bit
while
faster.
They're hiking up there, you'll take it faster to get up there in advance of them. Gotcha. I like that. That's cool. That works for me. You're going to use that to get to a new location, which will be the Rocky Ascent. Let's do that. Before we do that, though, the rough terrain of the gray granite rocks and boulders are often in pretty chaotic patterns with rounded edges that make for dangerous footing. Now, this makes it for also like rocky ATVing. It's not as steep, but it is still quite, you know, like intense. If you are moving quickly, you'll need to make the risky move normally with vitality, but I would also say that composure would apply here as well because you're driving. With your ATV and your sprained ankle would not affect that. But if you feel like you're going to be going not quickly, then I feel like you kind of got to do it quickly because you're on an ATV. So I think I'm just going to have you make the risky move. Yeah, why would I give you the option out? Like, that's not fun. What are you afraid of happening here?
I'm afraid that my ATV is just going to get stuck.
Yeah, that's especially if you like get like pretty decently out there and then it gets stuck and you're well, now you're fucked. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so you can go ahead and roll plus your composure. I mean, it's mostly about like safely handling the vehicle. Mm-hmm. And no disadvantage from sprained ankle. You can also mark an item if you want to.
I don't really have any items to mark because I don't think a thermos is going to help in this situation.
Okay.
That is good. 11.
11. All right, well, go ahead and just narrate the drive up to the Rocky Ridge.
I know these trails like the back of my hand, so like I know exactly what spots that an AGV would get stuck on and why like the rest of the search volunteers did not come up here, because boy, it like at some points like you're like almost going at like a very steep angle, but it's not quite too steep as it would have been on the shortcut. Like the rocks just go and like where some of them crumble as like I'm going up over them, and like it's a bit of like a weird lopsided like twisty turny sort of like approach up this sort of up the mountain. It's but honestly, if like we were hiking up this, it would take ages, but no, like the time has been cut off to be pretty decent, so
good. Let's talk about the rocky ascent itself, that you kind of arrive on the scene, and you can kind of see where the shortcut will feed into this as well, and you can park up here and wait for the rest of your responders to get. As you climb out of the tree line, you now only encounter a few small trees in the pine barrens, mainly the pitch pine and the scrub oak. Up ahead, you only see boulders and tan-colored grass, the gray rocks of patches of green moss. The trail is not, surprisingly, void of hikers this time of day. To paint the scene, what can you see below you in a sea of green pine trees that make this look like a normal afternoon in the mountains?
There's a bird watcher that's just in a stand that's just looking around, taking notes.
I think as like some other hikers are just traveling up here, like their boots are crunching across the ground, like there's like a almost a chittering noise as like this little opossum, like it gets disturbed from like this hole in the ground, and it's just like running away trying to climb up the nearest tree.
I'm going to say from this vantage point, Mike can see like in the distance, he can see like the, you know, the sun on the trees, and they're swaying. And it just seems like it's like a, there's no ominous shadows, or it just seems like a this is what Mike signed up for.
And I think the possum that scurries up the trees startles a bird, and it just fluffs up and flies out, and you can kind of see the glint of the sun on the bird watcher's binoculars as they follow it.
Love that. What are you doing up here, Mike?
I'm
you gotta pass the time somehow.
Yeah, I have to check out the area, make sure, see the surroundings, and just see like sort of like what approaches I can get up to the top of the point, because if I can get up there, then like I can take a look down, see if stuff that got pushed off, and like see like slip and slide, and make sort of potentially, because I imagine like I would probably bring some rope, like maybe even make like the direct climb down.
Yeah, you can go ahead and make the search move plus your reason.
God, that's a zero.
Yes, it is, but no disadvantage.
Still don't have anything. I have stuff that I can use at night, let's say.
This might go into the night, we'll see.
Not bad, it's an 8. I'm rolling decent this session.
Oh, I'm so happy with it. I know exactly what complication I'm giving you.
Oh boy, that
because Daniel wrote such good moments on this sheet, and this is the perfect time to do it. I'll give you the clue first.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, I won't. I'm going to cut over to the other people first. And I'm going to come back to you because that's going to be the end of. That's going to be how the session ends.
Oh.
We see Dallas, Roderick, and Sergeant Hank walk past a posted yellow White Mountain National Forest warning sign that says, attention, this try this trail only if you are only in top physical condition, well-clothed, and carrying extra food and clothing. Many have died above timberline from exposure. Turn back at the first sign of bad weather. And you two are, you three are hitting the muddy trail shortcut. Shaves about 45 minutes off of the hike total. It is wet from recent rain, and the now stagnant water has no place to flow, but logs have been placed in the wettest parts to act as impromptu bridges. Mosquitoes and black flies buzz relentlessly amongst the trees and tall grass. What is some evidence that despite being a rarely used leg of the trail, that it is still pretty well maintained?
I think that as you kind of get to the midpoint where maybe you think you could go one way or another, there's a little cairn, like there's like those really purposeful little rock stacks that are maintained that shows you like, oh, you go this way.
I think since it's not a marked trail, that a lot of people don't know about it. So that keeps it in good shape because there's not as many like ATVs running around on it.
In the trail itself, because of how steep it is, like there is some handholds of like sort of, I imagine, cliff face of just like here, like you're going in through a very small portion. You can literally grab hold and not trip and fall. Like, I imagine, like, sort of typically you're not supposed to leave stuff behind, but it's still got left behind. Like there's like little clips every so often just to let people know like, no, people have been here before. Don't worry about it.
There's like homemade like trash bins. They're like somebody has taken like trash bins and they've made them like bear proof, like animal proof, where it's like they have like a lever on them and everything that you have to like unlock and everything like that. That kind of blends in with the natural scenery, so it doesn't look abrasive or anything like that.
Very nice. So, role play a bit.
So since I'm the one who knows the trail, I imagine I've kind of like showed you to where it is and kind of taken point. Not very far ahead of you, though. I am not actually going to get ahead of Hank or, God forbid, Leaf Dallas out here.
I think you see, like, Dallas is just, like, sure-footed and just, like, following along and everything like that. And it's, like, even, like, taking notes of, like, has, like, a topographical map on a pad. And it's just, like, has a stylus, is just taking notes and everything.
Damn, you're prepared.
Yeah, Boy Scouts, be prepared.
All right, can't argue with that.
I think Hank is he's very interested in the drone, and like he's like does it have that thing where when the battery gets low that it returns to the place that you launched it?
It takes stock of like weather patterns, how long it's going to take, and it relegates how much battery power, and it can go into emergency reserve so the cameras aren't functional, and it just gets back there in a timely manner so you don't have to worry about it getting lost somewhere in the woods.
It's awesome. Dang. What if you were on a boat and the boat was moving? Would it go back to the place in the water, or would it land, or would it follow the boat?
Well, if you launched it from a boat, it was launched from its launch pad, so if the launch pad is still on the boat, then it would just go back to the launch pad on the
boat. That's so awesome. Yeah, that really is going to revolutionize search and rescue. Yeah. Dallas, I'm convinced you're onto something.
The thing is that I'm not trying to completely replace human bodies that are wandering through the forest. I'm just trying to make it so there's less of us out here traipsing around and destroying foliage and, you know, causing a scene and everything.
Totally could avoid that circus back there if we just had this in the hands of the Park Service.
Right. Yeah.
Probably just saying. People getting concussions. Shit.
You know, annual review comes around. Y'all just go ahead and notate. There's going to be a little box on the form that says, was Bart Moss Data Solutions a proper provider for things that you needed? And you just go ahead and check yes or no if you don't feel so. And then we can go ahead and get you more more stuff.
We don't ever get to sign those. We never get to go through those because David Embargo takes them all in his office and he goes through and checks them all. So all you got to do is show David this stuff and you're golden because he won't let us fill those out.
No,
because some people get jokey. Roddy, some people get jokey when they fill out these surveys and that ruins it for the rest of us.
Listen, they should know how to throw out the bad ones if somebody maybe... But it may be that maybe the input in those little boxes is useful and they think it's jokey, but maybe.
But like a few weeks ago when I looked at them, they were all jokey. All of them. Even Mike. Mike had one of the funniest ones. And but see, it's stuff like that that keeps us from being able to participate.
Well, listen, if David actually, you know, gave a shit and wasn't such a little prick about it, maybe something would actually get done.
I just thought of a genius plan. Why don't we just get David Embargo to go down to O'Sullivan's? We get him shit pissed drunk off of the martinis that he likes to drink. And then we put him in his underwear in the middle of the woods with nothing but this drone and see if it helps him get back to civilization. And he'll be so thankful about it.
The only problem with that plan, Dallas, is that we're all pretty sure David is like a robot or something, like an android. We don't even think he's a real person.
Can he get shit-faced?
Yeah. I don't think he can.
I specialize in artificial life forms, so.
I think we have a side mission for you, Dallas. And I think Mike's not here, but I believe we can speak for Mike on this one.
Oh, yeah.
You should definitely try to hack David Embargo.
Seduce David Embargo. Got it. All right.
Let's keep it.
Hey, you know what? Let Dallas do what's needed. Okay, I'm not gonna police that.
Look, I'm not tied down by the trappings of bureaucracy and, you know, human resources that you lot are. I'm a volunteer. I am not employed by the U.S.
That's gotta be a wonderful feeling. I can't even imagine.
Oh, God, it sounds nice.
That is true. I can just come and go as I please.
Oh, damn.
Y'all should try it sometime. Really.
You're living a dream. Living a dream.
Living the dream.
We watch them hiking off, continuing on. Mike, time for your complication. I'm going to be pretty heavy-handed with this one, and I don't care. You check the ridgeline. You're watching. You're surveilling it. Like, I'm going to get like a read on possible routes up, other things that might have been left behind. Your clue is that you spot... Actually, there are a lot of scratches on the rock face that you notice indicating desperate and repeated attempts over a long period of time to climb up it. Like your eyes follow these like scratch marks up the side of the ridge, up, up, up. And when you go to the top of the ridgeline, you realize there are figures up there watching you. I'm going to give you a mountain clue as part of your complication here. You see a group of people standing in a perfectly, like, symmetrically spaced out line, dressed in pristine white robes, wearing crowns made out of something green. They're just watching you and standing in the middle of them. So that's the mountain clue. I'll put that in the thing, but and this is separate. This is a moment that I'm turning into a condition. And actually, everyone gets to contribute to this because this is going to be great. Standing in the middle of these figures is a deer. But something's wrong with the deer. It at first appears to be a slow-moving and injured thing, but it is not. What features become more and more bizarre the longer you look at the not deer?
Oh God, it's
this
the
is a paint
same.
the scene for everyone. Yeah,
it's the same deer that Dallas saw last time. Oh God, it's. I think from since the last time Dallas probably saw this deer, it has changed even further. Its body slinks across the ground, almost slug-like.
I think that deer usually have eyes closer to the side of their head because they're prey animals. But this deer's eyes are on the front because it's a predator.
I'm going to say its antlers, it has these twisted antlers that aren't really, they're not large. They're kind of like, they're kind of close to its skull, but it appears to be dripping with gore.
As it's crawling along the ground and has all this dripping gore and these antlers and the fucking weird eyes that are like, you know, predator eyes now and everything like that, that hissing sound is being supplemented because it has that hissing, that low hissing sound, but then it's being like cut every once in a while with a like a deer noise, like almost like the deer is stuck inside of whatever, like the deer is calling from inside of this.
Mike, you're gonna take the condition the not deer is watching. And you hear a sound behind you. And as you turn around, you see Dallas, Hank, and Roderick coming up the shortcut, and when you spin back around, the ridgeline is empty. There's no one there. And we're gonna end this episode right there. Let's do end of session and then go into Stars and Wishes. So for Roderick, did you talk about one of your many certifications today? I'll give it to you for, you talked about your certifications because you were doing the out of the wood stuff. Yeah, so I'll give that to you.
I guess so, yeah. Okay, I'll take it.
Did you share your career goals? Yes.
I guess I did. Okay,
yeah.
You know, in doing that, you were, absolutely. I won't argue.
Yeah. Did you experience an echo in the time? We did not discuss echoes in time.
What is that?
It is, so with the unseen mechanic, I should have explained this earlier. Thank you for reminding me. Similar to the echoes in the night and signals from the other side from our other games, anything that uses an unseen. This game, echoes in time, is anytime you insert a parallel between an unseen and a rescue. Daniel, correct me if I'm wrong here. I believe we're using the public access approaches, which is you can use it at any point. Like if you refer to an unseen you narrated two sessions ago, it still counts as an echo.
It's not written that way, but that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I figured
it probably should be written that way.
Yeah. Cause I really like the public access way instead of just being in the same phase. Yeah. You basically at any point you can either narrate something into an unseen that parallels something that happened in game, or you can narrate something in game that parallels something in like narratively, whether that's like a thematic tie-in or whatever. I'll tell you more about it.
I've seen you use it on one of the actual plays, of playtests. And I think it was somebody, they were seen like in a poster. It wasn't even an unseen, but you used somebody that was early in the game. You put them in a wanted poster later.
Yeah, something like that.
But it was much later. I get it.
Yeah. So like, yeah, that vibe. So yeah, that's what that echo in time is. I'll tell you more about it later. All right, Mike, did you share your insight about the National Forest?
I tried to, but I don't think it really came across.
When was that?
Just generally just being a little bit irate about like everybody bringing guns when like the major thing this season is opossums.
I'll give it to you.
Okay.
I'll give it to you. Did you primarily talk in single word phrases?
Kind of, during Sergeant Hank's, when Mike was sober. When he was less sober, then he would start talking more.
Did you experience an echo in time?
I would say so, because my particular thing was that older couple talking with Karen and like Karen being kind of like no, this is how like things should be, and like just having a little bit of an argument in the woods sort of echoed Sergeant Hank's and Mike's conversation.
Yeah, I like that. All right, you mark three. Do you advance?
Yes, I do.
Hell yeah.
I can.
Sergeant Hank, did you admit that you are in over your head?
I did with Mike about the stairs.
Did you deliver a cold-eyed monologue about your hatred for bureaucracy?
I did, but I think it was alcohol fueled.
Yeah, it was, but I'll give it to you. And did you experience an echo in time?
Yes, my name Hank on my orange hat with Max's orange kerchief.
Very cool. You take three. But do you also advance? Hell yeah. And Dallas, did you share your wit or wisdom with the first responders?
Yes, I did. I shared about that time that my boss told me that each second you're not crunching,
You're
it's a second that
losing.
you're losing. Yeah.
That's a star for me, by the way. Did you impress the others with your wilderness skills?
It's up to them. I think that's kind of up to them to answer.
I think Roderick was a little impressed about the topographical map thing and that you actually seemed sure-footed because, like, last time I'd only been out there with you once and I kind of thought you were just like a volunteer, but like you clearly kind of know your shit. And okay, we're warming up where we're like, all right,
And
personally.
he was on crowd control for sure.
Oh yeah, like that control. Yeah, so I think
Nice.
I think Mike was a little bit mad about like, oh yeah, I'm going to be replacing the Forest Rangers and whatnot. Like if you had not said that, I think Mike would have been impressed.
And did you experience an echo in time?
I tried to, but I don't know if it kind of came across. It
Let's
came
hear
across
it.
more ang it came across more angry than just like that whole like kind of regressing and everything like that, like that the dog Max made. So it didn't really fit.
Okay.
Because I when the board was like, oh, the not deer isn't enough, it turned into anger instead of just being like, oh, why don't none of them like me? Why don't none of them think that my special project is so good because I'm a special boy?
All right, well, you'll mark 2 XP. Nice.
Yeah.
Very good. Before we go into Stars and Wishes, Chaotic and Daniel, do you have an idea for what advancement you're going to mark? Or are you going to think about that between sessions?
I am taking rock solid because of how much trouble I get into. It's another move. Your endurance is legendary with the team, and you can walk for days and days, as well as take a hit and shrug it off. Increase your vitality by one.
That's good for Mike.
I'm gonna go with flashbacks, I think.
Oh,
Just to make
that's
it weirder.
fun. I love
Yeah,
that one.
flashbacks. A few years ago, an operation I led went horribly wrong and people were lost and I barely survived and I don't talk about it and it haunts me. In recent days, some strange things that happened back then are starting, like I'm starting to like have flashbacks that are like being triggered from that thing I'm trying to forget. So 3 times I'm able to describe something eerie from a current rescue that was also present in the past, and that allows me to expand the details and describe a mountain clue that I get to make up a mountain clue
You
basically.
basically just get to introduce mountain clues alongside the alongside Chaotic, which means you too can accelerate the campaign by just doing that because you're able to like up the ticker. Wow, wild. Love that. Awesome. Well, let's go to Stars and Wishes, gang.
I gotta give a star to Hank because I really like the relationship between Hank and Mike. That's it's really fascinating that they both take this job pretty seriously. And then Dallas coming in of like, oh yeah, I'm going to be in charge of this like once Hank is gone. I'm like, no. Dallas, I wanna fight him a lot. Roderick, I feel bad for Roderick. I was just like, oh man, he got stuck with paperwork. He's just trying to just try to get through, but it's still like, I think everybody cares about them. Because I love you. I love adding that little snow globe to Roderick's home.
I love that. That was so sweet. That's so cute. Oh my God. Stars to Mike for being just getting into shit constantly. And I really like this sort of one word thing. And then Mike got drunk with adding your own coffee to the White Russian is very funny. It's hilarious. The fact that Hank drinks like non-alcoholic beers between beers, like this session was all about like these little character moments for me. Like the Alex the Blue Pin with David Embargo is very funny. I don't know if Wes can hear me.
Assume yes.
That despite being disappearing into the woods, that I really loved the like throwing your like this the skincare stuff against the wall. It was like so that entire scene was very cinematic. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, that was so fun. So I loved getting to see everyone in this out of the woods phase and get the like see the character work.
I've got a few. Let's see. I have a star for Mike. That's where my wish is too with Mike. But I have a star with Mike. It was fun seeing drunk Mike, and I could see Mike's facial expression when Dallas was telling him about getting the professionals in, and when Mike said, "I am the professional." Like, what do you? And my wish is, I want to see Mike shopping for groceries now. Like, I really want to see that. Sorry for Roddy. I like that Roddy's fighting the good fight and continues to use the blue pen. And I swear I've been in Roddy's apartment. I know I've been in Roddy's apartment. For Dallas, it was nice seeing him in his element. And I thought you did an echo with yourself where you did the ambient noise in your office and then you had the noise of the waterfall. And that was such a good
mark an extra XP. I like that.
Oh my God, I get it.
It wasn't from an unseen, but it was a cool like echo in time because mm-hmm. we're looking at a younger version of Dallas listening to this waterfall.
I'll give it to you. I like that. It's cool.
It's echo in time. It's just not tied to an unseen. Let's see.
Yeah.
And for Alex, I've got the whole play email thing was great, and I liked how Dave just stayed there. Like Roddy's trying to work and Dave's just the cut scene there with how's it going, you know, like he's and then I did like the complication by checking the first aid and a star for Alex for choosing this to be the next rescue because it really goes with that with the not deer from the last one. So good choice.
Yeah, no, stars to Daniel. I just love hack David Embargo. That's just great. I love that. I did really enjoy the scene between Hank and Mike at O'Sullivan's. Really like the banter. And it was really cool to have because I've never done this before, a vulnerable move playing out in a timer situation, like with the unseen mechanics, like doing hard cuts. But it worked. It was very cinematic in like the way you'd expect a television show to be. So that was like a circumstance where it's like it's a star to the system because I really think that the unsolved unseen added to the out of the woods phase, because originally out of the woods phase before I suggested the unseens was just like, yeah, you can just do a couple scenes and then you know you move on, but now it kind of adds this just one really a strong thematic tie to it with like this like the kind of the underlying mystery and like horror elements, but it also like provides really good structure for timing out kind of like the episodic nature of these scenes, and it makes it like feel more like a television show with the pacing, which is really well. It didn't feel like a between night phase where it's like, oh, our foot's on the gas and it's really fast paced, but it felt like these are structured and have like good, it beats them. So that was really cool. Chaotic. I just like doing bad things to Mike. and I love that you're always rolling with it and just always just being like, yeah, okay, I'm in it, but this is what we're doing now. Star to you for just putting up with it, but also just star to, I really enjoy Mike's character that we're getting to see with the out of the woods stuff, with him being kind of drunk and like letting the layers fall back. And then we're also getting to explore some more of him when he's alone with the ATV and like getting to kind of like, just kind of see his mindset. I really enjoy like the ranger being this like a little isolationist at times of just being like, you prefer to work on your own. But then there are moments where it's like, yeah, I don't want to be around crowds. And then you hear someone say, we'll bring in the professionals. Like, I am the professional. Like immediately affronted by the fact that you're actually being ignored was really great. Yeah, Wes, big star to Dallas's Out of the Woods Foundation stuff. The drone thing was really cool too, but I really enjoyed the narrated scene of you also then taking the Steely Dan reference as well. But I just love the, what do you mean it's not enough? Like, if this were a TV show, him throwing his phone at like the mirror, I would then imagine it immediately, like as it hits the mirror, it would then transition shot to like Karen walking in, like stepping in a puddle on her scene, you know, kind of like, I can just see that so vividly. It was very cool. And B, start to, yeah, that interaction with David Umbargo, as always, man, he sucks so much. But like,
I
just
love it.
Your role play as Roderick is so very like, he alternates between being an enabler and the enabled, you know, where it's like he is Jim from The Office, and then at other times he turns into Michael from The Office, and it's like this. We keep flipping between the two of them. It's really great.
The duality
of man. There are two wolves inside of you. wishes. I am. I'm very intrigued to see more. I want to see the Wilderness Boys. I really want to see the Wilderness Boys. But also, I'm very excited for when you get your third mountain clue, because then like I get to do more fun things.
Okay.
When you answer this question, I'm excited because you'll be able to resolve the rescue, but it does unlock another question, which is optional. But it provides another way of resolving the rescue. Technically, I might talk with Daniel, cause I have an idea of like a possible, like, not like big change to it, but like an idea that might make it even more tantalizing. Anyway, that's my spiel.
We need to see more of Dallas and like their interactions with the group, because like they need to have a vulnerable move at some point.
Yes, please. Oh my God.
Okay, so I got my notes in order. First off, B, I love how you're playing Roddy. I love how you're playing Roderick. Fucking please get that lad some friends. That's my wish, is can we get some Roderick some friends, please? Hanging out at work at late, it's not healthy. So what we do for Bart Moss Data Solutions is we have set up pay and away. So there are clear defined lines for when you are clocked in and when you are not clocked in, including not doing work, like, you know, unclocked work, like unclocked labor and everything like that. I just think it's really important to, like, you know, you have like a life outside of work. Though I do admire your dedication.
The idea that Dallas's computer system has a like program that like key logs its workers. It's like, if you don't type for like 3 minutes, you are considered off the clock until you type again.
Absolutely. That does not go to like paid hours and everything like
holy
that.
Shit.
Though we do allow a 15-minute paid breaks and things like that, but you have to log that in the database that you are utilizing your 15-minute, you know. And like the thing is, you can't combine your 15-minute paid break with your hour lunch break and everything like that. It's just, you know, we like to have very clear cut rules. Can you tell that I work in a tech startup? I work in a tech startup that was bought by Target.
Oh, God.
But that's all that I can say about my job. I love the relationship that we're starting to see develop between Mike and Hank. It's got like that father son, but like, you're not my dad kind of type quality to it. Though it's like not like there hasn't been like a you're not my dad yet like moment yet, but I see it happening. It's on the horizon. I can smell it. As somebody that's a writer and that also went to film school for a little bit, before I realized that I wanted to be able to pay my bills, like you could I like seeing the relationship develop between those two characters, and I want to see more of it grow. I also chaotic. This is the second game that we have where like we have developed almost like a natural like opposition between our two characters. But in the Silt Versus, we kind of resolved it by
Pretty
my
quickly.
character pretty quickly, just by my character being like, no, of course, yeah, like I respect you, and so I would never force you to do anything. So I'm just going to take it.
I would never kill you with a spoon.
Yeah, exactly. I would
I'm sorry, by B's reaction, I assume B has not watched The Silt Versus a God
The
Must
God Must
Feed.
Feed.
No, I
Yeah.
need to.
You
You
need
need
to
to.
because Wes is a follower of Sweet Jelly Crunch Tooth murdered a person with a spoon.
Yes.
I think I
Yeah.
heard some scuttlebutt about that from Amanda.
Yeah, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about Pele Kessel. But yeah, but you're like, I like it feels like a television show. It feels like a television show that like even like Roderick's like, oh man, that's pretty cool. Like I like that. I like that, like this is like you're pretty nifty and everything like that. And even Hank is like, hey, like this is actually really useful. This is gonna be like really good for the US Forest Services. And Mike's like, I don't trust that motherfucker at all. That motherfucker's a goddamn venture capitalist, which is evil and fucking like, which is like good. It's really good, like drama and television to the point of like, it provides me with like a solid, like obstacle for my character to be like, I have to either sneak the things that I'm doing with my secret agenda under Mike's nose, or I have to somehow convince Mike that I am being forthright and forthcoming with the things that I'm trying to do for the US Forest Services. So it gives me a nice little bit of like, I have to start thinking on my feet. I have to start being a little bit quick with it, which I love. I love. So it's great. That's great. Alex, fantastic. Fallen photographer, fantastic choice. I can't wait to dive into it. And excellent pacing with the out of the woods phase. It was really good. Yeah. That's me.
I also have to, oh my God, I think it's just that we keep on making characters that are effectively foils to one another. Like Mike is not like has like a very idealized version of like the forest rangers and like, just like we're here to like protect people, make sure they don't do dumb shit, like
This is
protect.
actually something I pointed out to Daniel during the playtest back in May, which was he didn't even I don't th didn't think he realized he did this, that each playbook has a foil, like is like the benefactor and the medic are, or and the ranger I should say. It's like yeah, it's
Is
yeah
really cool.
it became really clear with your rookie and Michael's veteran, but the warden and the ranger are the other big ones, because they like the warden is like a showboat,
Big time television star.
and but they're both like law enforcement officers, and so they're kind of like mirror image, where one of them's a loner and the other one's like Mr. Limelight.
Yeah, it's very cool to be able to play it out and everything like that. And this is like, I mean, this is my sleeper hit game of 2023. Because I knew that I was going to, just like how I am, I knew I was going to love the Silt Versus. And I knew that I was going to like love playing like certain games that I've played so far in 2023. But as we get towards the end of the year, this is like in my like own personal like top 10. I do like top 10 lists for the end of the year and everything like that. This is like my number two or number three. This is like my dark horse contender. Like if there was a category for it's like unexpected like surprise TTRPG that like I fell in love with, it would be this one. Just because of like those. So yeah, star for you as well, Daniel, for like making the
Yes.
system and like
Oh, it's
because
so
a lot of
good.
people would look at this and be like. That, and I think even Jason has been like, this is a little bit too niche, or even it might be too broad for some people.
Oh my
Or I
God.
don't think TTRPG people would like play outdoor stuff. And I was like, there is a
So good.
huge like network of people that would like love this shit and would dive into it. You
Oh
say
my God, yes.
Firewatch the TTRPG and people come running. Yeah, they,
Literally, this is
yeah.
delicious. This is like, I agree with Wes. There's so many people who would love this because of just the vibe alone and the mountain stuff. I'm like really obsessed with this weird, almost like pseudo fantasy vibe that we've gotten. Oh my, I am like, it's delicious.
So the Vanish character that Alex was talking about last time that I did the first draft, that character allows you to like go into that fantasy world, and when they come out, they can't really communicate with the other team member. They can't really communicate, but we see him as like this weird hermit that's helping us out. And so they're known locally as like, this, Cold Creek hermit or whatever.
It's
But they
basically
can't like
like
communicate with
it's
us.
Robin Williams's character in Jumanji kind of vibe of like, yeah.
But they get to go, instead of going out of the woods with us, they go back into that other world. That's where they spend their out of the woods phases, in the other world.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
Anyway,
like
okay,
yeah,
continue. I was about to say, continue, yeah.
I could literally talk about White Mountain Rescue all day because like this is
Yeah.
also like a sleeper hit. Like I generally like a lot of weird games. So like because I like cozy games, I like horror games, I like mystery games that use CFB. So I had a feeling that I was gonna like this game pretty decently, but like this is not what I expected, and I'm like having a really grand time, and I think people are sleeping on this way too much, and people need to enjoy get just move to
I
the
can
play it.
I love games that I can be like, I can show this to my group of friends that do some other hobby, and it can pull them into this hobby. And I love games that are like that. Like that, like Monster Hearts. If you like Riverdale or something like that, then let's play Monster Hearts together. I can bring you into TTRPGs. Do you like Supernatural? Let's play Monster of the Week, and we can do like that kind of thing like that. Do you like Penny Dreadful? Let's play The Between. Do you like hiking, outdoors, backpacking, firewatch, and stuff like that? Then let me bring you into something with White Mountain Rescue. Like it has those vibes. I don't like you, and that's continuously with my own game design. And I'm always continuously trying to be like, what are things that people really enjoy that has not been emulated in
I mean,
TTRPGs yet?
the basic pitch that I would give people from White Mountain Rescue is like it's Firewatch meets Stranger Things. And then depending on well, and then later in the campaign, The Mist.
Oh my God.
I want to make that happen so bad.
I'm so excited for the Night of Verdigris when we get to it.
That's why I picked flashbacks to try to speed that up.
Oh my God.
So ready. I'm so excited.
I'm loving Chaotic's reaction right now.
I'm beyond shocked. I'm just like, oh my God.
You didn't know about the Knight of Verdigris?
No, I listen, I've been sleeping on this game, okay?
Hey
It's gonna
man.
be bad. It's gonna be bad. We're gonna lose people. It's gonna be
La
bad.
layer four of the campaign. It always gotta
Oh,
be you gotta do a siege, man. You gotta do a siege at
like
the
I have the bad habit of not looking at games until they fully come out. Like oh
Oh,
man.
yeah, I'm so excited. Any other stars or wishes? No.
Wish when this game eventually releases, I want to have an ambient wilderness soundtrack. Oh, I will send recommendations for artists that will make it.
Awesome. Well, that was so much fun. I'm excited for next session. But for now, let us wave goodbye.